I feel it would be unkind on my part not to take just a moment to express my appreciation for your presence today to come to worship the God of heaven. If you're visiting with this church family, we're delighted to have you in our study. We encourage you to open your Bible. At every service, we open our Bibles and ask people to open their Bibles so they can measure what is taught by the Word of God. If I teach something wrong, I stand to be corrected, but if you find truth to be taught, we pray you'll apply it. And if you've never been baptized up on your faith in Jesus Christ, all things have been made ready this morning. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled, and upon your confession of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you could be immersed, have your sins blotted out by the blood of Jesus, and be added to the family of God. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew and the third chapter. And when you turn to the book of Matthew and the third chapter, I want to read one verse for the thought of our study. Matthew chapter 3, and if you will, drop down and look at verse 9. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. You know, several years ago, there was a very popular song, and it was entitled, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. And you know, I think that even though the song was beautiful, that there seems to be some misunderstanding with that song. You know, there are sometimes people have the religious view and the sentiment of that song that God can do anything, and because God can do anything, they don't have to obey God. And many fail to see that in life, it's not a matter of what God is able to do, but it's a matter of what God said to do. And what I want to talk about for just a few moments of our time is what God is able to do, but what is important is what God told us to do. If you take your Bible, we see this truth in action through many different scriptures. In the book of Matthew that I read just a moment ago in chapter 3 and verse 9, notice that Jesus said that had God so desired, He could have raised up children for Abraham out of stone. God had that power. God had the ability to look down and to take a stone and make it into a child. If God could make man out of handfuls of dust, then no doubt God could take a stone and make it into a child. But you'll remember in Genesis 18 when God told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a child, He didn't tell them to use a stone. He told them that they would have a child through the marriage relationship. Even though Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90-something and both past the age of childbearing, notice that was the relationship that God used. And I want us to understand that at this time, that here were Jewish people and they understood that God had the power to take a rock and to make children. But that's what not God did. God didn't say He would do that. You know what Jews ever started gathering up rocks for God to turn into children? Because God could have done that, but that's not what God told Abraham and Sarah to do. It's not what God can do, it's what God told us to do. But that brings up something else. In your Bible, in the book of Genesis and the 6th chapter, you remember that when God looked down upon the face of the earth and He saw that the mind of man was upon evil continuously, God repented that He made man. But He looked down and He saw Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because Noah was a righteous man, God told Noah, I'll tell you what you do. You build an ark. And everybody that gets in the ark will be saved from the flood that I'm going to send. But anybody outside the ark will perish. Now I want you to stop and think for just a moment. Could God have demolished the world in some other way and saved Noah? Absolutely. He could have put an asbestos suit on Noah and just blew everybody off the face of the earth. He could have lifted Noah up in the air and just destroyed everybody else. But that's not what God did. God might have had that power. God did have that power. But that's not what God did. God said, you build an ark. And I want us to understand, my friend, just because God has the power and the capability of doing something does not mean that's how He's going to act. It's a matter of us listening to what God said. Had Noah said, well, God, you're able to save me in any other way. Why build an ark? Noah might have been lost himself. God said, I'll tell you what you do what I tell you to do. There's no misunderstanding. God said, you build it to these specifications, you build it according to my pattern, and you get in the ark, and you'll be saved. Now, I've often thought about, my friend, God told Noah what to do. And you know what saved Noah? Was he did exactly what God said. In Hebrews chapter 11, you'll remember in verse 7, it said, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now then, would you look at the preacher and say, you know, preacher, that's just narrow-minded. God could have done it. God should have done it. But my friend, that's not what God did. God told Noah, and Noah obeyed, and God saved Noah, and all these in the ark, 8 people in all. But then if you take your Bible for just a moment, where our brother King read just a moment ago in the book of Numbers in the 21st chapter, you remember the people had complained and murmured, and God sent the fiery serpents and they bit the people. And you remember the people were dying and they went to Moses, and Moses pleaded to God, and God said, put a brazen serpent upon a pole and those who look shall be saved. Now, could have God done something else? God could have stopped the snakes at any time. God could have cured the people with His own hand. But God told them, I'll tell you what you do. You look at the serpent and you'll be saved. God made a provision, and God said, no, you have to do what I told you to do in order to be in a relationship with me and to have that from killing you. You know, God could have said, you have to kill a cat on a dark moon, but He didn't say it. What did He say? You look at the serpent. You lift up your eyes towards the brazen serpent. He told them what to do. And you take your Bible and look in the book of John in the 3rd chapter, and you remember Jesus makes reference to that when He's talking about the cross. In John chapter 3 and verse 14, He said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. It's not what God can do. It's what God said to do. But you know, that brings up another thought in our study. If you have your Bibles, look in 2 Kings chapter 5. And when you come to 2 Kings chapter 5, you'll find there was a man of Syria who was a commander of the army identified as Naaman. And you remember this man, the powerful man, though he was won over the army, though he was a military might, he had leprosy. And you remember the little servant girl said, if you could see the prophet in my homeland, you could be cured. And you remember he comes to Elisha, and Elisha doesn't even leave the tent, sends out the servant, and the servant says, go dip 7 times in the Jordan. And you remember that man got mad. That man said, are not the waters in Syria just as well? Could I not go to my homeland and dip in those waters? And you remember the people said, had he told you some difficult thing to do, would you not have done it? He's told you something easy. Now, could God have just snapped His finger and he'd be cured? Absolutely. Jesus did that on occasion. Healed the lepers without them doing something. But notice at this time, God gave a command. It wasn't what God could do. It's what God told this man to do. Had this man not went and dipped in the Jordan River, he would have died of leprosy. And I'll tell you, you may say, now, preacher, that sounds odd. I'll tell you, my friend, it's not what God can do. It's what God said to do. Now, would you agree with that? Would you say you're just a narrow-minded, fanatical preacher trying to get something across? All I'm doing is showing you what the Bible says. But then, take your Bible and look in the book of Joshua and the 6th chapter. In the book of Joshua and the 6th chapter, you ever thought about when the walls of Jericho came down? How God told them to march. And then on the 7th day, march 7 times and blow the trumpet. Here they've been marching around day by day. And then on that one day, they march 7 and they blow the trumpets and the walls come down. Could God have done it any other way? God had the power to do it. But if they'd not obeyed God, God would not have done what He said He would do. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson years. You know, there are some people this morning in our country who just believe everybody's going to go to heaven. That God won't cast anyone into an eternal lake of fire. That everyone's just got their ticket punched. And they're universalists. They believe that someone can be saved without any obedience whatsoever upon the part of man. But you know, my friend, my question is that what God said He would do? Did God look down and say, I tell you what, you don't have to do a thing. I'll just save you. Just live your life. Live it the way you want to live it, and I'll redeem you. My friend, that's not what my God said. My Lord has told us that those who do not do His will stand lost. Take your Bible and look in the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter in verse 21, He says, not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. Not even those who say His name. But notice the next thing He says, but he who does the will of My Father in heaven. Underscore will. Now God, what do I have to do? You have to do My will. You mean to tell me, Lord, I have to do what You say? Absolutely right. Now, you think that's narrow? You think that's fanatical? Are you mad at me for saying that? My friend, I'm just reading what Matthew 7:21 says. All I'm doing is taking my Bible and showing you that not everyone, only the ones who do the will of God. Then in Matthew chapter 7, look at what He says back in verse 13. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Look at that. He said the ones who will be saved are what? The ones who enter by the straight gate, the narrow gate. It's not a matter could He save the ones or the other way, it's a matter of what He said for us to do. That brings up another thought. What about salvation? When you look at salvation, have you ever thought about that we have to be moved by faith to do what God says? And when I'm moved by faith like Noah, I don't just sit back and say, well, God's going to lift me up and take me out of the world. No, I have to do what God told me to do. James 2:24 says, faith without works is dead. That much I know. I have to do the will of my Father. It's not a matter of what God can do. It's a matter of what He's told me to do. But that brings up something else. Some cry loud and long. One doesn't have to be baptized for the remission of sin. I've met very few people who would say, you don't have to believe. I believe most religious people say, you have to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I've met very few people who would say that you don't need to repent. Most religious people say that there has to be repentance. And I doubt you'd find very few people who in the religious world who wouldn't say you need to confess. But when it comes to baptism, they say, oh no, preacher, I was already saved. I just baptized to join the church. That's not what my Bible says. In Acts 2:38, He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. You're being baptized into Christ so your sins can be blotted out. Then God adds you to the church. It's the act of being immersed into Christ, being baptized with Christ, into Christ, that takes away our sin. You can read in 1 Peter 3:21 where He talks about that it is not the removal of the flesh, but it's an answer towards a good conscience. It's the taking away of sin. Have you ever thought about, my friend, that's what God has said for us to do? But let's go a step. And this may upset you, and I hope it doesn't. But if we can disagree without being disagreeable. But when you look at the work and organization of the church, it's not a matter of what God can do, it's a matter of what God told us to do. You ever notice that God wants a spiritual body? God wants us to be people who are loving and caring for one another, but He is concerned about us spiritually. Now, outside of the church, when we can meet together as individuals, that's one thing. But it's not the work of the church to provide entertainment. It's not the work of the church to make sure everyone's having a good time. It's the work of the church to preach the gospel, edify, and encourage spiritually. And I'll tell you, my friend, I'm fearful I see a lot of places drifting from the truth. And what we need to remember is this is not my church. This is not your church. This is the Lord's church. And God is today the church of Christ, and Christ is not preeminent in His own church. God pity the day that we do not emphasize what He's done for us. Someone may say, "Preacher, I just think that we need to get people in any way we can." Oh, my friend, if the gospel doesn't get them in, then we're getting them in for the wrong reason. My Bible says that the power is in the gospel, Romans 1:16. That's where the power lies. The power doesn't lie in the preaching anything except the gospel of Jesus. I would to God I had the ability to put that. No, it's not a matter of what God can do. But don't forget what He's promised to do. Take your Bible and look at one last verse. Look in John chapter 12. And when you come to John chapter 12, look at what He says in verse 48. In verse 48, Jesus is speaking and He said, "He who rejects Me and does not receive My words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. In the last day, I'm going to stand before Christ. And it's going to make a difference. Did I do what He said to do? Did I obey His will?" I have one question for you. What has God said? Now, I got a second question for you. Are you following? If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand.